I like that the first word is going to be whatever. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Hello, I am Naya.
Matthew.
I'm Mitch.
John Carter.
All right, we are here to talk about main characters, and not actual characters, but the hypothetical characters that we came up with for a particular brand. For the people who have not been listening at all for the last 2 or 3 weeks, can someone remind me what a brand is?
Somebody's gut feeling about a company.
A gut feeling about a company. And how do characters interact with the gut feeling? This might have been implied or referred to in your prompt for today. Five elements of strong branding. Name. Icon.
Give me like 3 seconds.
It's all blanking. I'm so sorry.
It's early and it's Friday.
Really early.
It's not so early.
It is early.
It is not early. So early.
It's pretty early.
That was...
Wait, no.
Those are rules for flag design. You're on the right path, though. Name, icon.
We're going to get to 25 minutes right here.
Set new record.
Name, icon. What else?
Easy to use product.
Yep.
Distinctive.
Distinctive what?
Would it be name or use?
Neither of those.
Oh my god. Oh, distinctive, like customer group. Oh my god.
You are on the right path. What you got, John? What? Okay, that is a qualification of a name, but there is something about branding itself. One of the five elements of a strong brand. Customer focus, good name, good iconography, simple to use product, and...
So brands have are distinctive, brands have personalities, brands create reference, brands transcend logic and rationale, and they have value, a name, logo, reputation, personality.
And personality is the one. So here we go. So brands are gut feelings, and we are talking about stories. Personalities have stories. So in any story, there is a character. Mitch, you seem ready to go, and you were the first one to walk in this morning. What is the brand that you have decided to do some work on?
So these are my notes for last week, but for this week, I chose Tesla, and I think it's kind of interesting because I kind of went to like, my mindset was kind of before Tesla was made. So I was thinking of the development of the company and how there was probably like a character that they had envisioned while creating the company. Like Earthy Ernie was my character that came to mind while there was like a development of the company. Earthy Ernie with some money signs in parentheses, because obviously whether you're like super Green Party or whatnot, you can't afford it, you can't afford it. But I think that after the company's been created, it's just, there's more, it's more so just wealthy people that, which is not necessarily the character, but just kind of like their cohort of consumers. I feel like that's
so you are describing the persona or the cohort, like their target consumer.
Yeah.
Is there a you become friends with people have personalities. If you become friends with the Tesla brand, what is the Tesla character like?
Just like how do they act? Or
yeah. A brand has a discernible personality.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going off just like the wealthy people, I just feel like we're white-collared, briefcase even. Because I was I feel like whenever I look at somebody that's driving a Tesla, it's almost always like somebody's in a collared shirt. And that means to me that they are probably working like a 9-to-5 business job of some sort or just an office job.
So are you... You are still describing the person behind the wheel.
Yeah, I'm trying to get
Who are they friends with?
Other
people like them?
Yeah.
So if you boiled Tesla down into a set of human characteristics, you could describe them as an office worker?
Yeah. I don't want to necessarily say hard worker, but they had to have worked somewhat to get to the point where they're at. I feel like, yeah. Like... Tesla's not in everybody's budget, so you had to have... I mean, some people are handed, like, if you come from money, you're handed money.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Nepo babies can...
But, yeah. So, I mean, I don't even like saying hardworking about it, but just, like, money is readily available. So wealthy white-collar workers.
Yep. And beyond the, like... demographics. I'll give you a second to think about this so we can check in with somebody else. How would you describe not just their background, like what they do every day, but how do they behave? Like if you were to describe your friend Tesla to somebody else, how would you introduce them? Which might be a good way for us to transition over to Naya. Who did you choose
chose good old Coca-Cola.
All right. Classic American institution.
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of talked about the values that they set forth in their commercials and their marketing campaigns. And I noticed like three big ones, which would be happiness, nostalgia, and then like a togetherness. Mm. I think that their marketing campaigns evoke like special emotions and memories, which kind of tie us or make us want to keep coming back to this brand, especially the idea of like sharing special moments with loved ones. I think they definitely draw on that.
Yeah.
And that's how they draw so many people in. Mm-hmm. I also talked about a conflict and resolution because that's what you had in the prompt. I don't know if you want to get there.
Well, let's come back to that main character. What kind of main character is happy, nostalgic, that loves to celebrate your big moments that have like that you always want around for those celebrations? Like, can you put a person or a personality to that?
I was gonna say like maybe your really extroverted friend who's like always down to plan your birthday party or like come to your birthday party, like somebody who when they walk in the room they just like make you light up. I think that's Coca-Cola.
your ecstatic friend.
Yes.
I'm not saying that I disagree, but how does nostalgia fit into
I think more on like their actual like marketing campaigns, the way that they have like flashbacks, it seems like it's set in the past, or it's like a young girl growing up with Coca-Cola and then at her wedding day, she's celebrating it with her dad. Mm-hmm. And like they do these things to make us have more of like an emotional tie to it. So I think that they just draw on like our nostalgia of like, oh yeah, I drank Coca-Cola when I was younger with my dad. My dad's the one that introduced me to that. Mm-hmm. And like I'll always be drinking Coca-Cola with him. It's kind of silly, but I think that something even as small as Coca-Cola can invoke those emotions.
So it's your enthusiastic friend who remembers growing up and having the family connections.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Ish.
And they want to continue celebrating those things with you.
Yes.
Now that they have not just their family, but their found family.
Right. Period. That was so good.
Didn't even prepare for that. We will come back on conflict and resolution. Matt, we'll come over to you next. Who is the company that you would like to talk about?
I chose to talk about Nike. Okay. And so the character that I kind of created around them is just the victor. It's their whole symbol of Nike is the goddess of victory, and everybody that they, especially recently, their campaigns have been around people like that have accomplished victory pretty much. They've had Recently, they had like the LeBron, whenever he broke the scoring record, Caitlin Clark, whenever she broke the scoring record. They don't really sponsor a lot of athletes or anything that haven't been to the top and mm-hmm. won, which just really speaks to their morals
yeah.
or their company values of victory.
Mm. I'm going to put a pin in that for just a second because I haven't seen the whole thing, but I've caught bits and pieces of it. That Nike movie that came out like 6 months ago or something like that.
About Air.
Yes. Okay. And it's really big part of the founding mythology of this company that they took a chance on an athlete who hadn't made it to the top yet.
Yeah.
Worked out.
It worked out.
Worked out pretty well.
Yeah. It
I feel like now
that guy was going places. Right?
I feel like now they don't do that as much. They'll sponsor like rookies in the NBA or obviously Caitlin Clark. She never won a championship, but she's obviously
pretty good.
Been victorious in what she's done.
Yeah.
It's not like they just wait for somebody to reach the top, but they also you have to have accomplished something as opposed to. I consider like Under Armour brand. We've talked about that before. They're kind of more of the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Tom Brady story where, yeah, he's very victorious. He's won however many Super Bowls, but he always started as an underdog.
Yeah.
Nike's more of like, you are the top dog and you're going to act accordingly.
Can you put that into a personality? Like, yes, victory is a core value or belief or expression of those things. But how would you describe that person who is very focused on victory and achievement?
Don't know if this is necessarily personality, but somebody that chases greatness, somebody that demands themselves to be at the top level. And so they're a very ambitious person and very goal-driven.
Do you want to hang out with this person?
If you have a similar mindset, yes.
I'm asking Matt, do you want to hang out with this person?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah? You like that intensity, that driven nature, focus on, I don't want to say focus on winning at all costs, but like you really, really, really want to be successful. Okay. John, we'll come over to you next.
All right.
What would you like to talk about?
I was going to talk about the brand Rolex.
Okay, yeah. Very fine watches.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What kind of personality does Rolex have?
I think the kind of personality that... Wait, hold on. Repeat that?
Yeah. What's the... Head. Yeah. How would you describe the character? Yeah. What's their personality like?
Are you talking about like a person who would own one or just this Rolex?
Rolex, the company, the brand.
Luxury, for one.
Mm-hmm.
I just had that word in my head. Very, I think, elegant, precise, and well made. I don't. There was another word I had in my head. It's just flew out of my head.
Is there, this can be a little bit abstract for something that is refined in the way that Rolex is. And that we don't encounter in the same ways that we do Nike and Tesla and Coca-Cola. Who do you picture when you think of Rolex? Like, who comes to mind?
It's almost kind of like whenever he said something about Tesla, it's kind of that image, but I picture someone, wearing a suit and tie to work every day.
Yeah. Is there a particular person that you can kind of conjure in your mind?
Personally, I picture my grandfather,
because
he always had one, and he always worked in the insurance business, so he always dressed up every day. He was wearing slacks and a suit and tie.
Yeah,
so that's the kind of image that's in my head. But if you look at the Rolex like commercials and stuff, I don't even know if they have commercials. I've seen a couple, but they're always wearing a suit and tie or some button up and fancy looking.
Yep.
Yep.
So I just typed Rolex ad into Google Images, and there's a handful of athletes. There's a handful of, wealthy people.
Yeah, wealthy, yeah.
Yeah, but they're
doesn't necessarily have to be a suit and tie, but just kind of wealthier.
Yeah, but like, I mean, David Beckham is in here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's made some money along the way.
Yeah,
yeah. I can't tell who this person is. That's an old. Yeah, they look wealthy. What might be, like, how interested? You know what? I'm going to go back. What was it about the Rolex? Do you think that that made your grandfather want, not just want one, but want to wear one every day?
I don't think he got it for a sense of status. I don't think that's why he got it. I think it's because of how the background of Rolex and everything that's been put into their brand. It's they've made a name for themselves that they are a really good product. They last, you know. Usually they're made of gold or silver, and maybe they got some diamonds in there. But yep. They got good style. List can go on.
Yeah. And that Rolex that your grandfather bought probably a while ago.
It was actually a gift, but he had it
for a while, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They have a habit of lasting forever.
Oh yeah.
Potentially unlike Tesla, which cars don't last forever without a lot of maintenance. How would you describe the Tesla brand personality? Like that, can you put some character traits to?
Yeah, I was thinking about like your question before the break, like how I'd introduce the company itself or somebody that was represented.
You can keep going.
And I was just thinking like a group of guys that are meeting on the golf course. And the three are there, and it's like it's like a client that somebody works with, and the other like two are just actual personal friends of the guy that's working with the client, and he's not there yet, and he's like telling his buddies, yeah, this guy's, he's kind of entitled, so if he hits a bad shot, he's going to put another ball down to hit another shot until he hits it well, so just kind of let him do whatever, but... He's all right. He's entitled, but he's got a lot of money. So just let him be. Just let him play how he wants to play. Kind of. Yeah.
He gets a bonus mulligan.
Yeah, every hole if he wants one.
Yeah. So the character of Tesla. Every character has struggles. What is the Tesla main character's big conflict or struggle? What are they working through?
So my preparation was clearly terrible for this because I was looking at the brand itself.
Did get it like 12 hours ago. That's not entirely my fault.
Was obviously like
the customer base.
Yeah, like pollution and the environment, like the actual cut. And so the problem of the character would definitely be self-worth. Because they're struggling internally. So they feel like they have to buy all these brands or like drive these elegant products and to feel some self-worth. So like they're really insecure. I could be completely wrong because we're just winging it. But they have, because they don't only drive a Tesla, they wear like the nicest suits. They've got a Rolex. So they want to be recognized by the public. And they do this by like showing that they're wealthy. So I think that self-worth is something that they're a problem they're dealing with.
Sure. several different directions we can go in that particular conversation. Matt, let's come over to you. What is the struggle that the character of Victory has?
Upholding the standard, I would say. The competition, and if you're going to base your personality around victory, you have to achieve victory. So you have to struggle to maintain it.
So in that case, who is the, or either who or what is victory's greatest struggle with. Like that personality. They are constantly, I don't want to say at war with, but like there is an ever-present competition. Who is it with, or what is it with?
I think it go two ways, either the opposition or themselves.
Yeah, I think themselves. Yeah. That you have to think that like someone like Michael Jordan or Caitlin Clark, like they have beaten basically everybody. The only person that they will never ever actually beat is themselves, and that drive to keep pushing forward is really really big. Naya.
Yes.
Your enthusiastic, nostalgic friend.
Mm-hmm.
What are they struggling with?
So I think they're struggling with like making connections and like spreading their joy all over the world. I think in certain areas it's pretty easy to do that, but in other places where there are like actual conflicts happening or things that kind of take your mind off of just a sweet drink, I think that they're going to have trouble, you know, making those connections and spreading their brand and their message, like, to those people. Not everyone wants to be an enthusiastic, nostalgic person. Some people want to leave the past in the past.
I fully agree. I think there might be, another layer here, though.
Goodness.
Because this is, so... Your nostalgic, enthusiastic friend, like, there is obviously a lot of bad stuff that happens in the world. Everybody has real challenges that they face, whether it's, like, got a speeding ticket this morning and I'm really frustrated about it, or, like, I turned on the news and all of a sudden I'm sad. The, yes, everybody heard that noise.
So sorry about that one.
But the enthusiastic, nostalgic friend has a role to play in helping you to deal with that reality that we live in.
I agree, but I also think that sometimes that friend can be like too much at times.
Like sometimes you just want to feel those negative feelings and
deal
with it.
Why not? You don't want to just mask it with happiness if you don't get to the root of it. It's just, this is turning into a therapy session. I'm so sorry, but.
No, we started that with Tesla, actually. But the, I think you're actually right that this character is always just like, I don't want to think about that thing I heard about on the news. I don't want to deal with the drama from my life or in my workplace or whatever. I just want to sit and have a Coke. And that kind of blissful existence is a real part of this person's personality.
It almost seems like ignorance to me, and I find ignorance really annoying. So maybe that's why I'm so like negative
you're
towards
down
it.
On that.
But
but it is like it is an absolute part of that person's personality. Of like everything's gonna be fine. Let's just have a drink together.
Right.
And the world will go away.
And like when we come back to the resolution, I do kind of have that where they do create that happiness, but we can talk about that later. I do think that it is just kind of a problem in like different areas. It's always nobody's going to be happy in like certain, like nobody's going to be happy all at one time. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. You should take time to recognize the negative side of some things.
Thank you.
We'll come back to you.
I
don't want you to focus on the struggles of your grandfather. That's not what I'm going to ask. But
Rolex.
What does Rolex, the personality, what do they struggle with?
You know, I was sitting here thinking about it. I couldn't come up with a thing that the personality really struggles with besides of how much they cost.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing, only really solution I can figure to that is make more money. But if you really want one, make more money. But I couldn't come up with like a distinct problem that the personality has because I've only heard, I now have that watch that my grandfather had, but because I've only experienced good things with Rolex, so I I can't come up with any really problems.
Yeah. So I just, for fun, pulled up the jewelry store, Jared, just to pull up their website. And apparently they don't sell new Rolexes, but they have plenty of pre-owned ones, including a Daytona, which is a very nice watch.
Yes.
Yeah, it is $38,995, which you can used, which you can put on payments for as little as $2,170 a month for 18 months.
Good night. That's a car payment. Well, that's way that's, more than a car
that's
payment.
You could get a very nice Tesla for that. Yeah, and there's nothing about like what year this is that I can find, where this where this came from, who owned it before. It is just
no papers.
Apparently not. It's just a Daytona.
That's not and safe.
You don't have to pay $39,000 for a Daytona. That's yeah. Mm-mm. You could get a Ferrari Daytona for about $40,000. So there is obviously the struggle of like who in the world could afford a $40,000 watch. There's not that many of them. But if you are trying to tell people that you are worth $40,000, there is a conflict of some kind.
There's different ways that you can go about saying that you're worth $40,000. You don't have to buy a Rolex, but if you want to show that, I mean, you could buy one and you could wear it every day.
This Daytona is half of Caitlin Clark's first year salary. So
that's wild.
She's about to close a $10 million plus Nike deal, though.
So. There is that. Like, she'll make money outside. She'll be fine. But a rookie in the NBA does make $12 million. Like, there's some distinct differences. But like, this is a sizable investment in a piece of jewelry that exists, maybe primarily to let everyone know how wealthy you are.
They can get up there to about $500,000 too.
Oh yeah.
Well, $250,000.
Yeah.
$500,000, but
the. There are several watch brands that tick over $500,000 for their limited editions. There's
covered in diamonds.
No, not even that. Just really weird looking. Go if you want to dive into a rabbit hole, go look up the Royal Oak collection.
Really quickly, I just have to interject. So I work at a jewelry store, and we sell watches that are gold, silver, that have diamonds on them for so much less than that. Like, you're literally paying for the name and to be recognized because you can get the same thing for so much cheaper.
And we usually do this in Business 101. Sometimes we'll do it in this class, too, where we look at a $300 Timex, which is pretty nice, and then compare it to a $30,000 Rolex. And functionally, they do the same thing. I don't want to say a personality quirk, but something about the characteristic of a Rolex that says you could buy the $300 alternative or you could buy me. Is there something that...
Difference if you want the watch to say Timex or if you want the crown in it. I mean, really.
There are Timex watches that have a crown. It's not the crown, but there is a crown.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Rolex, the little crown. Oh, yeah. In there. But, I mean, I've never compared. But, I mean, like you said, they do the same thing. I mean, it tells time. it could be really just a status thing, honestly. But
I feel like it comes down to, like, there are defined classes that people are aware of what they're in this country. And I feel like that is such a, like, that's such a spectrum, like, you're two total ends of the spectrum, and honestly, I feel like it's like the people all the way at the far end of the spectrum that can afford that is like, I don't want to be grouped with the people on, as bad as it sounds, like I don't want to be like associated with, like I can't afford it.
What's the reference group type and the behavior that you're describing
of the far
of the I don't want to be seen as one of those.
Yeah. I mean, just wealthy and entitled, kind of.
Way back, we talked about the three types of behaviors that are associated with reference groups. We have the aspirant.
Aspiration, disassociate.
There you go. The dissociative behaviors. Don't lump me in with those Timex people. I am a Rolex guy. Yeah. Matt, I'm going to come back over to you for the resolution. The victory character is always struggling against themselves. In the story that Nike is telling, what is the resolution for victory?
I think it's the victory itself and just achievement. In all their ads now, it's, like I said, it's after somebody's had, like, a major accomplishment. They've really done a really good job with their new ads of keeping them very simple, like 1 to 5 words when they've accomplished something, and having that, I mean, go back to the word victory, but having that victory is what they strive for and what the accomplishment is. There's always a next step, but there's the goals along the way.
Mitch, you look like you were going to lean in. And
I wasn't.
Okay.
Actually.
That's fine. So the constant struggle for victory is against themselves. How does Nike, the product, help you to overcome your struggles against yourself?
The product itself you're talking about, they always come out with new items. Like, just, I know football, take football cleats, for example. They're always coming out with a new cleat that, okay, this has more speed. This one's going to help you with something. This one's going to do this for you. And they do that with all their product lines. So it's always the next step in being able to help you achieve victory.
Yep. And not just the clothes, but they make a ton of equipment, golf clubs, baseball bats, water bottles, and hydration, according to their website.
They still make clubs.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, I am breezing through this website.
No, yeah, it's like a fly moment.
I see. Squirrel moment. Some bags.
Because I thought, once Tiger's contract ended last year or 2 years ago, I thought they were done.
Well, I'm not seeing any clubs turn up right now.
Just a bunch of, like, golf accessories. It could be
sunglasses, though.
But, yeah, they do have golf accessories, polos, pants.
Yeah. So they equip you for the ongoing challenge of beating yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. Solid resolution. Naya, we'll come over to you.
Okay. So Coca-Cola was founded in 1886. Long, long time ago. Clearly, they're able to, like, adapt through the times and through hardships, both, like, in our country and out of our country. They're now, like, a worldwide brand. People all over the world drink them. And so I do think that, like, their ability to adapt and then also finding those new ways to bring people together and, like, create that happiness is how they kind of resolve the conflict of, well, I don't want to be happy all the time.
So there is a, they use that anchor in history as a way to, like, are they actively blotting out the world around them? Because you say that there is that tension that, like, sometimes you just want to, like, acknowledge that not everything is sunshine and roses.
I don't know. That's a great research question for maybe, for, like, a paper else. Or something.
Yeah.
I'm not quite for sure, like, how they stand on different, like, issues, but as far as watching commercials and different ads and things like that, it always just does seem like happy. They're not trying to be negative and not trying to, like, loop in the bad things that are happening, more like provide that happiness.
Yeah. And what is it about Coke that helps to provide that happiness?
The sweet taste.
Sugar makes everything better.
Yep. Exactly.
Yep. Mitch, we'll come over to you for the character's resolution. It's okay to talk about the product. How does the Tesla product, the self-driving, gull-wing door-having electric car, how does that help Tesla with its conflict?
I mean, I was thinking of the person, like, the representative character, and, like, my in-mind solution was to find a partner that eases, like, the I need to show everybody this. And I think, like, I mean, in my mind, it was like find a Rivian girlfriend, or or just some. Yeah. It doesn't even have to be, because like somebody could drive anything really, a 96 Civic, and that's the crazy thing about it. Like, I don't know if there's a, because, like I said, I kind of prepared the wrong way. So if you drive a Tesla, I apologize. Like, none of this is like super genuine for me. So
don't take this assessment of the personality of the brand as an indictment on you, the Tesla owner.
Definitely not.
Our CFO drives a Tesla. So
yeah,
we're not calling you out, Kevin.
I've seen one or two so,
on campus.
Sorry. Yeah. Don't take my scholarships away.
Don't listen to this podcast.
Too late, they're
here. So maybe the Tesla car is a representation of something, and maybe in order to balance things out, we should just find someone to love that is more like a Honda Civic.
Yeah, or something like
simple, reliable.
Like if you learn how to like, it doesn't have to be someone. Like if you find something like that you something. Like, that's just kind of unique and not of the higher end spectrum. Like I was talking about, like you can learn how to appreciate that, like things more towards this end, and maybe it'll just balance out.
Yeah, let's momentarily. Oh no,
go for it. Just had a question. Are all electric cars like on the same price range right now? I know it's like a fairly newer thing, so I was thinking like if you don't want to spend all that money on a Tesla, but you're interested in like the electric car part of it for the environment and whatnot, then maybe like another option would be better for you.
So
I think it depends on the features. I mean, there's Teslas that are $30,000. There's Teslas that are $250,000. I think
like the Plaid.
It's
Cybertrucks.
Pretty similar for other brands as well.
Yeah, Cybertruck right now is going for $250,000.
That's nice.
Because of an auction, and then that ramped the prices up. I don't know.
There is a new maker. They've been established for a while elsewhere, but they are just now coming into the U.S. It's called BYD. It is by number of cars. It is the biggest electric car maker in the world. They started in China and have been steadily growing into Europe, into other markets. And their price, I can't find any immediate pricing here on their website for America. But in Europe, it's the equivalent of about $20,000, $25,000 for their mid-range car. You probably don't want to buy the bottom end. It's like Kia was a few years ago. Like, tread carefully. But that mid to upper range is, like, for most drivers, if you just want a capable, well-featured car that doesn't have a Tesla badge, BYD is not a bad option. And Volkswagen is... if Tesla's number two, Volkswagen is a very, very, very close number three for the number of EVs that it produces. So, and Volkswagen is at the top end more affordable than a Tesla. So, no, they don't all exist in the same price range.
Volkswagen completely EV, or are they hybrids?
They have a couple of complete EVs. They do have more hybrids. Similar to Honda and Toyota.
I think just about every car brand is going hybrid kind of now.
Subaru holding out with that internal combustion.
Let's go.
Gonna be the last ones to come around.
I hope so.
Somebody needs to keep the spirit alive. The resolution now for Rolex.
Yep.
What are we resolving to?
Make more money. No, I'm just kidding.
How does like Rolex wants you to buy into it. Mm. How does it like the purchase of a $40,000 Rolex? How does that solve the challenge of needing or wanting to be identified as set apart?
Well, once you make that purchase of $40,000 for a watch, you've then become kind of part of the, I guess, the little, the few people that who have actually bought a Rolex. And if someone actually looks at your wrist and sees that, then you'll be, I guess, part of it. But it's, you know, you're just kind of talking to someone. You don't look down at their wrist. They'll never know.
Yeah.
But once you make the purchase, I don't know, you just become part of this group mm-hmm. that has mm-hmm. that has a Rolex.
Yep. It solves
this higher up group.
Good Lord. Rolex Cosmograph Daytona. Oyster glass, 40mm case, mm-hmm. platinum case and band. You might want to take a guess at how much this is. It's a very pretty.
$762,000.
No, you've got maybe one too many zeros on that.
I was gonna guess $574,000.
No, it's under 100.
$76,200.
More than that.
$80,412.
You're closer. $84,000.
Good night.
It is. I mean, that is a very, very pretty watch, though. I have to give them credit.
Oh, wow. Is that brown?
It is brown.
Let's get a grant from Franklin College.
We have a watch in the store that I work at that looks just like that.
Is it $84,000?
No.
But it's not a Rolex.
It's not a Rolex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we have characters, we have conflicts, we resolve those through something, and because we become friends with brands, we become invested in their stories. And this is how... I'm just going to break the microphone. This is how we get people to connect and remain connected with us. That is all that I have on this discussion of stories and main characters. But I need to settle a discussion that has been happening among some professors in the last week. Can you define
this
definitively? Riz.
Oh.
Riz?
Riz.
Riz is short for charisma, so it's the act of applying charisma onto,
I just found that out.
A person that you're attracted to and attempting to, like, secure, like, a number, a date.
Secure the bag.
Just to get to know them better. Wait, I mean, I feel
so
like.
That's a range there. The question that came up in this conversation is the romantic interest required in this?
Yeah.
Riz is just how good you are at picking up a girl or a guy. I mean, that's really what it boils down to, is how good you are at, like, I don't know, like a pickup line or something.
Yeah, you could just walk up to somebody.
So
you're not going to do it to your friend.
Well,
to add a layer to this conversation, you have to consider the aura involved. There's aura too, like somebody's aura, like you see, like, crazy videos of people walking around and people are just turning their heads looking at them. Maybe they have like Sharpie drawn on them, or maybe there's just an aura with them.
It's like the video of somebody following behind somebody and you're just like catching all the people who are looking at them. We don't know that they don't have a face tattoo, right? Like,
yeah,
it could be something else, but
yeah. There's like an aura involved, and then like Riz on top of it, your charisma and whatnot.
So can you have Riz without an aura?
Yeah, you got to work a little harder.
Okay.
See, I didn't know it was short for charisma, because that's my friend's name. But whenever I found that out, I told him. I was like,
this podcast took a direction I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, it took a turn.
Well, you've settled a debate. And I'm not entirely sure if I've won or lost, but
what was
I don't know that I should incriminate. I said that it didn't necessarily need the romantic part, that you could just walk around and impress people. Like, it's not just about getting numbers and things, but I am very old and maybe I'm wrong.
Well, what was your view of it besides the not being romantic?
That's just the thing. I didn't think that it needed the romantic component that you can be charismatic without necessarily wanting to get a number.
Well, hey, maybe.
I feel like
it can go both ways.
I feel like I'm just being friendly at that point. Like, I feel like there's different intentions. There's an intention of just, like if you're applying Riz, so to speak, I feel like I'm 12. there's an intention of, like, you go in with a game plan. If you're just being friendly, like, that's just, like, you're a conversationalist and you're just talking, like, with no intention. Like,
Well, so the difference is actually, if you are just being friendly, you are being charismatic.
Yeah.
But if you are being persuasive in the romantic way, it's Riz.
Why did this turn into
I would say so.
I hate this conversation. Why did this
turn into brain rot?
Can I hit a button and end this, please?
Sure. Yeah, hit the that seems friendly at this point.
Oh, that did nothing.
In Ohio.
That. Why are they not doing anything?
Oh, you got to turn up the the sound.
That's. I'm so sorry.
I think this button makes a really cool noise. Let's
try that big red one.